Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're so excited to have you with us tonight, as we are every Tuesday night from 7 to 8:30-ish. We are so glad that you're with us. We have been reviewing the ideology of discipleship, Christian discipleship. What does that look like? You know, where are you? Are you in the stands or the game? What is a disciple? Why should we care? What does it mean? Why try? All the questions that we bring into the table. Tonight we're going to be talking about the spiritually dead as we look at the cycle of growth of discipleship. Jackson, lead us for a moment. As we go through this section tonight, I hope all of you who are listening would take this seriously and know that God may be trying to give us a word so that we can challenge ourselves to grow and to be stronger, and maybe to take this word to someone else who we know may need it. So with that in mind, we're going to start tonight. I'm going to open with prayer, and after prayer we'll have a scripture. And Dr. Jackson, do you have the scripture? I see Margaret on the line. Maybe she can read the scripture.
I have a scripture.
Awesome.
John 12:26.
Just the one scripture?
Well, I have a number of them here, but that's the one I picked.
John 12:26. Okay. She's reading for the Bible text. Okay, John 12:26. So I'll do the prayer. We'll have a song, and after the song we'll have intercessory prayer. God, we come before you and we're asking that you be with us and guide us.
Amen.
That as we come to your table where we are walking in, and if you called us and taught us to call upon your name, you say that many times in your word that you want us to call upon the name of the Lord. And so we are doing that tonight. We're calling upon your name, asking for leadership, guidance, and revelation knowledge. As we come in front of you, Lord, as we come to the crystal sea and the emerald rainbow around the fountain, around the throne, as we come and talk about and listen and are reminded of the 24 elders who were there praising you constantly. Well, we also want to join in and to praise you and to glorify you and magnify your name because we know you are worthy. And, Lord, we are just grateful to be in your presence. And so we call on your name. And as we walk in your presence, we ask that you would strengthen us, that you would renew us, that you would bring to mind the things that we need to know. For there are people who are listening, or trying to learn of you, O God, and we ask that their revelation knowledge might be clear. Lord, we thank you and we glorify you as we come before you, and again, as we say, let this Bible study be such that we are not the same as the way we came into it, that we are growing and changing, transforming our lives into being phenomenal disciples for you. We ask these blessings now in the matchless name of Jesus. We pray according to your will. Amen.
Amen.
So at this time, you have the scripture.
John chapter 12, verse 26. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. The word of the Lord for the people of God.
Amen.
Amen.
I worship you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. So it's at this time we will have our intercessory prayer. So are there any people who would like to lead the intercessory prayer tonight? Anybody who desires? Then I will. Okay. So is there anyone who has a prayer request for this evening?
I have a prayer request. There's a young man that I watched. I probably baptized him as a child, watched him grow up. He has succumbed to drug addiction, and he's having a really tough time right now. And while his family and the professionals and whatever are battling with it, I'm just trying to love on him and through loving him, get him to see the love of Christ. And I just pray for him. Not going to mention any names, just going to lift him up as a young man struggling with drug addiction. Who needs Christ?
Amen.
Dr. Susie, this is Margaret.
Hey, Margaret.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Well,
today's my birthday.
Congratulations. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
Many blessings, I pray, for you.
Amen.
I just wanted to thank the Lord for giving Traveling Mercies Home when a storm was headed to North Carolina, and I had an angelic host, and it was a wonderful, wonderful trip home without incident. So I praise the Lord, and I pray for my children and grandchildren, from my family. I pray that the Lord would bless and keep them. And also I pray for this Bible study, that it would grow, that there would be a revival in our Bible study, and that the Lord's face would shine upon it.
Amen.
Amen. This is Dr. Susie. I thank the Lord for being just grateful. I pray for revival in the church. I pray for the veterans. I lift up prayer for my family. And loved ones, those that are traveling, safe travel mercies, back home and wherever they may be. I still want to pray for Mike Diggs and his family. They lost his mom not long ago. I think it was last Monday a week ago, and asking support for them. I pray for my job, that I will continue to glorify God there and
Amen.
Wherever God wants to lead me. And I just want to give a praise report that my house is about ready to host Traveling Nurses. So I'm
praise God.
Excited about that. And I anticipate that will take place in October. So I'm excited that this long journey is about to begin. So we're just grateful for that.
Amen.
So, if there are no other praise reports or prayer requests, we will go into intercessory prayer. Lord, I come before you and we lift up the young man that Dr. Jackson was talking about, the one that succumbed to drug addiction. And know, oh God, that meaning and purpose in his life, that you would be the center of that, that you would provide that meaning, that you would provide that purpose in his life so that he can have what's needed for you to love him, and to be loved by you is transformative, if he can receive that. Asking as well that all of the people at the Nehemiah house would be able to receive that support, and those leaders of that would be transformed, renewed, and strengthened as they journey to provide a place. Asking a special blessing for and a praise for Margaret and her family as they traveled from North Carolina. We ask special blessings on her children, her grandchildren, her family. And Lord, we just praise you right now. We glorify you because you've given us a task to do a study of the word, to show who you are to the world so that people might come to say, what must I do to be saved, and have that relationship with you that will change their lives forever, and not just for eternity, but right here in the right now, that they can live differently and have hope and have meaning through a heritage of previous experience. We thank you. And then, Lord, we ask that the study would grow, that your face would shine upon the Bible study, and others would join, and we'd find people who care and would like to participate. We also just want to praise you for the church, Lord. We know that you wanted people to be like you, to follow your discipleship process so that others would know of you and there would be kingdom of God on earth, that we would grow and change this place, that we would be the salt of the earth, and we would help others to see you. But we pray for that even now, that those of us who claim to be Christian would not just come and get studied, but we would share what we know, our testimonies and the knowledge that we gain with people daily, instead of talking about Facebook and the latest thing that's, you know, gossip, but that we would tell your story so that someone might have a relationship with you. Well, we also pray for families, loved ones that are traveling. Even now, as Margaret was traveling, there are storms going through Indiana, and we just ask right now that they would be blessed. Well, we lift up Michael Diggs and his family. His mom has been around a long time, and she's gone home to be with you. Thank you, Lord, for the transition. That's smooth. Thank you, Lord, for love and relationship and memories. Thank you for staying beside us when we need you to walk with us, promising never to leave us nor forsake us. We praise you, oh God. And then, Lord, I ask a specific strengthening as it relates to my job. Lord, let me have favor with you and with humanity here as I seek to serve those that you've commissioned me to help. Open the doors and make the way straight and make it clear to others and to me the task that you have me to do so that you can get the glory and the honor and the praise. So we thank you right now. We praise you. We magnify your name. We know, oh God, that you are worthy. You are worthy, and we praise you. We lift you up right now, Lord, because we know that everything we utter, Lord, we're asking it to come up forth from the heart. Lord, and that it would be made clean. Oh, give me a clean heart, oh God, that I might serve thee. We come before you right now interceding, oh God, for those who are struggling in the nursing homes, Lord. People who feel that they've been forgotten, oh God, that are entering into preliminary first stages of dementia, Lord, who feel forsaken. Lord, let them know that you have not forgotten. And then, Lord, asking that their families would continue to come, even when they can't remember, but that the family member would remember and always be present and let them know they're loved. Lord, as we come before you, they're veterans today, many of them who are struggling with drug and alcoholism. And, Lord, we come before you right now in the name of Jesus, asking that you would bind Satan in the lives of those who are struggling. Lord, you said whatever is bound in earth could also, what is bound in earth could be bound in heaven. And we're asking that this would happen, oh God, so that people would have a reprieve, that the enemy would have a stay away, a break, so that they could come and get their lives together and know that there's a God worth serving, that they could have a reprieve enough to breathe and to see that you're there and that you promises are to never leave them nor forsake them if they but trust, even when it doesn't make sense, oh God. Help us to walk in that way. And, Lord, as we go through tonight, we're asking that there would be clarity, that the Holy Spirit would walk with us and talk with us, that there would be a power from on high that would come and rest with us and empower us to receive the word of God and to transform our lives so that we won't be the same that we came. Oh, Lord, we're trusting because we know you're able to do everything but fail. And so we come before you asking for a changed heart. Lord, tonight there are things that need to be done, but, Lord, we need the Holy Spirit to come into this place. We need the Holy Spirit to rest, rule, and abide in this word so that we can be transformed, understanding what it means to be spiritually dead and to move from that to new life. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We praise your name. And we trust that as we sit at your feet tonight, as we come in the throne room, oh God, that you have given us an audience and your promises are true and they're clear and we can just receive everything you have for us. And we can count on it, oh Lord. We can count on it. Seeking ye first the kingdom of God and all this righteousness. Thank you, God, in the matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to your name. Thank you, Lord. So as we come tonight, just asking that we have a little introduction for those of you who are on the line tonight, that you would join us. If you could do a roll call, and the roll call, I'm going to start as Dr. Susie. I'm in Crawfordsville, Indiana, and I'm excited about the word tonight that Dr. Jackson is going to talk a little bit about being spiritually dead, and he's going to be with us for about 45 minutes to an hour, and he's got to leave, and then we're going to continue. But we're asking as well, if anybody else has any concerns or prayer requests as we go through the study, to make those things known. Just want to say thank you all again that I am here one more year to praise the Lord, that this is my born day, and I am celebratory that I am here, because I don't know how many times the enemy wanted to take me out, but I'm standing on his promises. Amen.
This is Margaret in Brooksville, Florida, and I am so happy, and I congratulate you for making it through another year, Dr. Susie, and I'm rejoicing.
Amen. Amen. I'm praising him. You know all the scares we went through, but God was able.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Do you have any other prayer requests? All the grandbabies and everybody all right?
Just the Isaac has a tongue tie, and he may be getting a little procedure done. So I just pray that the Lord will enable the procedure to go through without any glitches, and that it would be fruitful in Jesus' name.
Okay. All right. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So any other introductions? Anybody else want to introduce themselves and let us know who's on the line? Roll call. All right.
This is Phil Nicholas from Cleveland. I'm on the line for a few minutes. Wanted to primarily come and just listen and see what the good word might be there, and to wish Dr. Susie a very happy and blessed birth date.
Amen. 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 Dr. Jackson?
Yes?
You want to introduce where you are?
I'm sorry?
We're all introducing ourselves. We're introducing ourselves.
Okay, I'm in Edmond, Oklahoma. And blessed to be here.
Praise God.
Amen, amen. Well, we have a handful today, so we will praise God. We got Dr. Jackson in Edmond, Dr. Edwards in Cleveland. We got Margaret in Florida, and Dr. Susie in Indianapolis. So we thank you, and as you discuss and talk, it would be great if you could say, this is Dr. Susie from Indy, so we all could get used to the voices that are on the line. And as we do so, we'll become familiar with one another. Also, if you hear me saying something like, thank you very much, thank you, I'm trying to get you to wrap it up, so because we have at least four on the line that might want to talk tonight. So God's blessings be with us as we come to, the Bible says, come and let us reason together. And so that's what we're attempting to do. Amen. Amen. So, Dr. Jackson, if you're ready to start, I know you won't be with us long, so if you just start the study, we'd appreciate it.
All right. For those of you who received the syllabus that Dr. Susie transmitted to us over our phone, there were four scriptures in John that she gave us that she wanted me to actually talk about in terms of being spiritually dead last week, but I was led another way, and forgive me for that. But I do want to go back and look at those, because that's what you were given as a homework assignment. Amen? And I want to stay in line with what the class is doing. I didn't come in to do my own thing. I'm not sure what happened to me last week, except that I got so excited about the subject that I didn't pay attention to the syllabus. I wanted to stop and go back there so that we can have a chance to discuss some of them. There's a bunch of them, but there's four in John. The one that was read was John 12:26. Margaret, you read that, correct?
Yes, sir.
Can you read that one more time for us?
Yes, sir. John 12, verse 26. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. The word of the Lord for the people of God.
Okay. There were some questions that Dr. Susie posed in the syllabus, and one of them was, what does that mean? What difference does that particular scripture mean for us, the common believer today? What does that mean? Does it change the way we think? Secondarily, does it change the way we act? So what does it mean? Anybody?
It
does it change the way we think and act?
Correct. Well, let's try it this way. Maybe I didn't approach that correctly. Let me try it a little differently. How many of you believe that? Let's try it that way. How many of you actually believe what John 12:26 would, and mind you, that's red letter, so that's Christ speaking. How many of y'all believe that's what Jesus is saying? How many of us believe it?
John 12:26 says, anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servant must be where I am. Father will honor anyone who serves me.
Correct.
So when it says
I wanted the others to talk about it.
I was just going to ask the question. Go ahead.
Well, let's answer the first question that's on the table, and then we'll go back and ask your question.
Okay, it's related to your question, but I can't do that.
Who all believes that?
This is Margaret. I believe it.
You believe it, okay?
Yes.
So you believe if you're following Christ and you're serving Christ, you are his servant.
Yes.
Wow. And you also believe that his Father will honor you simply because you serve him.
Yes.
So now, if you're a disciple of Christ and you're a servant, doesn't that change the way we think?
Yes, it does.
Give me an example.
We don't just think for ourselves anymore, because
amen.
If Christ is where I am, he's in my heart. He influences my thoughts, and it's not about me first.
Amen.
That relationship causes me to seek to know Jesus and the Lord's will for me as a servant. What should I do? I'm not just serving myself and my own whims or desires.
Wow.
I'm seeking to commune with God and get some direction.
Amen. You said a mouthful there. How many times is our first thought, even when we're serving, is about us, as opposed to serving with our first thought being about him?
I think that changes as we mature. I think initially it's mostly about us until we mature. And even as we do prayer, as we mature, we pray for other people.
Yes.
Okay.
And not just ourselves.
Okay. But Dr. Susie, I got to challenge you there. To me, that's almost rhetoric. Let me tell you why. When I was serving actively the people at the Nehemiah, there were mornings I would have to get up. Every morning I keep a quiet time. Everybody knows that, right? But there were times at the end of the quiet time I would have to go to the mirror and literally say to the mirror, God, it's not about me today. It's about you. And I already know there's another scripture that says we have the mind of Christ, which means if we have the mind of Christ, we can think Christ's thoughts. Amen?
Amen.
So if I'm getting ready and you don't, and when you serve Christ, you're actually serving other people. So the people that I had come to serve, I had to start thinking about what was best for them and not what I wanted to see happen in their lives. How about that? What was best for them?
Well, I think as you become a stronger discipler, it becomes about other people. It's not just about self. And that's why I say as we mature, when you're as a child, you think as a child. And children think about self. Babies, when they cry, they whine. They're about, gimme, 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 I'm wet, I'm wet, I'm wet, feed me, feed me, feed me. But as you mature and as you grow, your knowledge expands, and you begin to, that's why Jesus said when his parents were looking for him, and he says, where did you expect me to be? And he was at 13. So something happens when we mature and we grow. We are about our Father's business. And we are clear, and we walk in a direction that is no longer self-focused, but is God-focused.
Okay. I would like to challenge that idea from this perspective, if you don't mind.
Oh, you said, sure.
You said I had the liberty to
let
do
us
that.
Reason
you
together. Know? Let us reason.
Okay, let's reason together. Do you remember the story of the demoniac? Does everybody on the line right now remember the story of the demoniac, the Gadarene demoniac?
The Gennesaret in Mark.
Yeah, in Mark. Anyway, does everybody remember that after Christ exorcises the demons out of him, everybody else abandons Christ. They ask him to leave. The demoniac then says, I want to go with you. And Jesus says, no, to your people and tell them what God has done for you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, stay with me for a moment. He hadn't been to a seminary class. He hadn't been to a Bible study class. He hasn't been to a catechism. He hasn't had anything other than an experience with God. That's all he got.
Mm-hmm.
And God commands him. Now you have to stay with the story. When Jesus first comes into that region, the people reject him. Later, Christ will come back to the same region. I think it's called the Decapolis. And people are running, bringing out folk who are sick, demon-possessed, their neighbors, all kinds of folk to be blessed by this man named Jesus. As a result of the work that the the demoniac did in terms of his relationship with Christ. And that's what I mean when I say he didn't have to, I'm not saying he isn't growing. That's not what I'm saying, because I think once you've had an experience with God, you start growing from that moment. If you choose to, there are a lot of people who experience the power of God and they don't grow from it. But he did.
And that's exactly when I say you mature. We mature. We move from ignorance into how quickly we get to that is based on the individual. But we move from not knowing Jesus to knowing Jesus and willing to share a story. You can have an encounter with the Lord, but before you have one, you are innocent, you're young, you're naive. I mean, you don't know the Lord, but when you have it and you grow even then, and the demoniac grew, the guy who used to be the demoniac, when he first told his story, he didn't have it down packed, but guess what? After about 3 months, he had his story down packed, and he was maturing in his faith. And as he was maturing in what he believed in, things change for him, as it does for us. When we grow in Christ, we're more apt and more able to move forward in what we know of him and have confidence. So there are many people who, you know, they start off and, you know, they're afraid, you know, I go to church. But when something happens inside of you where the Holy Spirit touches a part of you where you are no longer your own, you become on fire and change for the Lord. He says he will exchange his, come on, Lord, for us. He lives through us. And when we release that and allow the Lord to work through us, then that's a maturation process that's beginning. And the more we do that, the more effective we are. So I love the idea that the demoniac, by the time, you know, that they came back around again, he had told the story. And doesn't God do that? He sends us back to from where we came because we can impact the people. You know, and it's funny that you even use that one, Doc, because it makes me think about, remember when Jesus was in Nazareth and they didn't really give him any credibility because he was from Nazareth? That in this context, we can see he sent them back to his own, but yet he encountered folk that because they knew who he was, they wouldn't receive him. But guess what? What was the biggest difference? This is a man who was gnashing his teeth, was tearing at his body, and they could see him as a different person and go, whoa, look at the change. He ain't even got to open his mouth to be able to see that there's a change in this man. So when you have an encounter with Jesus, come on, somebody, there is a change.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so real. It's physical. It's visible. And let him open his mouth. Hallelujah. And let him tell his story. Hallelujah. And if we just open our mouth and just simply tell what Jesus has done, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Okay. I got to slow you down, Dr. Susie, because I want to hear from the class. Amen. Amen.
Okay.
I want to hear from the class. I want to now move to a second scripture you gave us. It was John 15:5. Can I get somebody, can I get the person that's from, where did he say he was from?
Oh.
One of the other students to read John 15:5.
He's gone. Margaret, would you read John 15:5?
Yes, I can read it. John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. The word of the Lord for the people of God.
Okay.
Amen.
When I first read this, I struggled trying to figure out why did Dr. Susie put that scripture in here? Because for me, what that scripture is dealing with is fruit bearing. Amen? It has nothing to do with being spiritually dead. It has to do with fruit bearing. Does anybody want, outside of Dr. Susie, does anybody want to share with me what they think was in her mind?
So can anybody read the context of the scripture, which is what we're taught to do? Read the whole scripture, Margaret.
Okay.
Read the
just one moment. Let me just, I got it on the computer, so I'll just do the whole thing. Okay.
Start at one.
And vine and the branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain, is that good? Verses 1 through 5.
That's fine. That's fine. It was 15:5 is the only one she listed, and I'm challenging that, and I'm still challenging even with the context. Context in my mind is about remaining in Jesus in such a way that you bear fruit that brings glory to God. Now, what does that have to do with being spiritually dead? And I don't want to hear from Dr. Susie.
Yes, sir.
Hello, anybody?
Well, the discussion, this is Margaret, the discussion is about not being spiritually dead, because if you are in Jesus, if you are a branch, true vine, Jesus, then you are not spiritually dead. But if you were spiritually dead, then you would be cut off and thrown into the fire and burned.
Okay.
Because
in other words,
meaning
you're
not connected.
The Lord prunes.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
I like that. So what I hear you saying, Margaret, is that a sign of spiritual life is you bear fruit.
Yes.
And if you're connected
not
to the vine.
Fruit, if you're connected to the vine, you're going to bear fruit. Even when Christ prunes you, you'll bear fruit. But if you're not bearing fruit, for me, that shows no sign of life.
Which is why you get pruned.
And that's always been my struggle with church folks, and it's just me. Not criticizing all church folks, because it doesn't apply to all of us. It applies to some. But there are many church folks, when you look at their lives, you do not see what I call the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 6, the fruit of the Spirit, especially when you engage them in any form of conflict, in any kind of conflict or a disagreement where you see things one way and they see things another way. Amen?
Yeah, amen.
Amen.
I mean, when we're supposed to express the life that's in us that's like Christ is in those times. That's when you express it. It trips me out to watch folk who go to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, listen to sermon after sermon, listen to choir sing and deacons pray, get out of the church and act just like they were before they went in. It did not change their ethics. It did not change how they conducted themselves.
Well,
hello, somebody.
Come on.
It didn't change it. But part of being on the vine, you're going to bear fruit that brings God glory.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. And that's such a...
There was a third one in John that Dr. Susie took us to, and that's John 21, 15 through 19.
Okay. John 21. Yes.
15 through 19.
Yes, sir.
Right. Now,
John?
Just so we satisfy Dr. Susie, the context is stated in the very first verse. Go ahead, Margaret. Do you want to read?
Okay, so I'll start with, do you want me to read the context as well?
Well, actually starts, the very first verse gives you the context. So you're all right.
Go ahead and read it. Go ahead and read.
Okay. John 21, verse 1 says, after this, Jesus... John 21, verses 15 through 19. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger...
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't want to stop you. Go ahead.
When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. The word of the Lord for the people of God.
So, now, we've always been taught, whenever Christ or Paul repeats something in Scripture, that's important.
Yes.
Here we have an experience that Jesus repeats three times to Peter. Simple question. Do you love me more than these? So now, let's start with, what is the these?
The other people that are the other apostles and the people in the room.
Okay.
At the dinner.
Okay, because earlier Peter had boasted and said, no matter what happens, Lord, I got your back. But does he have to ask him three times? Does he have to ask him three times? And then let's kind of dig in this scripture just for our own good. What is supposed to be the motivation for our service to other people? The ultimate motivation. What motivates us? Anybody?
This is Margaret. Devotion to the Lord, answering his call and fulfilling his requirement of us, which is to feed his lambs, take care of his sheep.
Okay. Margaret, I'm a simple man. I just boil it down to the motivation is you got to love Jesus.
Amen.
You
got to
love Jesus. That's your motivation. I love Jesus. What are you doing serving this soup kitchen? I love Jesus. What are you doing serving the homeless? I love Jesus.
Amen.
What are you doing dealing with these drug addicts and these people
from
God? I love Jesus.
Amen.
So we are active when we understand that. We're actively showing that we love Jesus. We're out there doing something with our hands because we love Jesus. Right? We're attending community activities to meet other people who don't know the Lord. We're serving and working with folks like the homeless who don't know Jesus.
And this is Margaret. I mean, some of the homeless do know Jesus, but the situation and
that's
I think
some
also,
of them don't know Jesus.
Also, I believe that when Jesus is in us and we are in Jesus, that we sense the divinity of God in the homeless. We recognize them as children of God.
You know, Margaret, I had a gentleman that I worked with at the Nehemiah who was probably my greatest challenge. He had been in prison most of his life. He went to prison, in my mind, for something he didn't do, and I, to this day, don't believe he did it. He got labeled while in prison. He had a speech impediment, and he struggled with demonic possessions. Yet, in the midst of that, he still had something that tells me he has something for Jesus.
Amen.
And I worked with him because some days, most of the time, his knowledge about Jesus wasn't based upon biblical knowledge, but there was something going on. I remember one time he quoted a scripture out of Revelation. I think it's Revelation 3:24. I could be wrong. And I thought, you can quote scripture. And he said, no, that really means something to me. I think it's where Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock, and anybody who answers, I'll come in, sup with him and him sup with me. And then as I continued to work with him, it dawned on me that in his knowledge base, he did have knowledge of Jesus. I don't know if he's ever, toward the end, we finally got him to trust Jesus for salvation. In fact, I watched him be baptized.
Amen.
But for the longest time, a couple of things. One of the things that kept me going was God convinced me that my role was never to judge him, no matter where he was. My role was to walk by him, love him, and lead him to Christ.
Praise God.
I'm sorry?
I said,
hello?
We don't have a heaven or hell to put anyone in, so it's not our role.
Exactly. That's
to
not
do
our
that.
Role. Our role is to love on him.
Amen.
And he was one of those brothers that was unlovable at times.
Yes.
Most of the time. He was unlovable, but the thing that I mentioned because I heard you say that sometimes they know him, but they're in their lifestyle.
Yes.
This young man that we prayed for, he knows the Lord. That's not his issue.
Yeah.
He's stuck in an addiction. Now there are things about the Lord that would liberate him if he would trust in the Lord, and that's a different thing. Knowing the Lord and trusting in him are two different things.
Well, you know what, Doc? It's amazing to me that if we could just learn, this is what I always say, if we can learn to just love people, love on people, and show the love of God, and if we could just do that, it's amazing what transformations can take place. Just when you love people.
Amen. That's what we're called to do. I can remember going to one of my prayer partners, and I was struggling with those men, and I'll never forget. I asked him, what more could I do? And he said, I got to share something with you. All I've ever seen you do with these guys is love them. Just keep doing that. Because to me, because I'm a trained preacher, and sometimes being a trained preacher is dangerous because you start to trust in your theology more than you do the simple act of loving a brother and caring about a brother with the love of Christ. If that makes any sense to you.
Amen.
You think that delivering a good Bible study, preaching a dynamic sermon, you put your money in all those things only to find out that doesn't do it. It plays a part, yes, but in terms of helping somebody come out of whatever's holding them, you will find that stuff will come up short every time. Every time. And that was my struggle. Because when I first started that program, man, I had Bibles. I was giving them.
Well, you'd have to know me.
They were getting Bible something at least 3 to 4 times a day, and I had them for 8 to 12 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, I had to slow some of that down and start living with them, if that makes any sense to you. Doing things with them, going places with them, struggling with them.
Feeding them.
Feeding them. Oh, gosh, yes. Crying with them when they cry. Listening to them when they're angry. And I mean listening without trying to solve what it is they're angry about. Woo!
Well,
it was an incredible journey.
This is Margaret. Dr. Jackson, I have to confess that this scripture came to my husband and I today. We discussed it at length, and that it, my husband said, it's probably a metaphor that you have to feed them spiritually, and that man doesn't live by bread alone. And but
okay.
I was pushing the point that you have to feed people when they need to be fed. The Lord provides food for them as well.
Amen.
The hungry belly is a powerful force.
That is true. But even that has to be directed by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Praise God.
Because it's not just it's not just feeding, it's how you feed them.
Yeah.
When I discipled Dr. Susie, all you need do for her, give her a syllabus and a book, and she'd take off on her own. Okay?
Yeah.
She would learn on her own. There are very, very few preachers that I've discipled who are ever like that. They needed the extra. They needed you to walk alongside them. Anyway, I didn't want to get away from circuit. Listen, Dr. Susie, I'm going to have to let you have it here. My name is being called.
We have 6 people who just joined. So can you just recap what you were teaching and then summarize it and we'll move forward? Well, since you're the teacher, it would be great if you could do this, since you said you'd be here to 8. So just go ahead and recap, and then I'll take you from there.
Okay. Basically, to recap, we went back to her scriptures, John 12:26, John 15:5, John 21:15-19. And the things that we came out with was the idea that if you're a servant of the Lord, the expectations that you will serve. But if you serve Christ, you do that by serving people. And when you're serving people, you do what is best for them, not what you like to do, or not what you necessarily like to see happen in their lives. Amen?
Amen.
That was that was our first statement. The second one was coming off of John 21:15-19. Now, that's where we are now. What was the other one we did? Yeah. Oh, John 15:5, where it talked about John 15:5, where it talked about I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. The point of that was, or the big idea of that, was that one of the evidence that you have life in you, you bear fruit for the Lord. And then I talked a little bit, I veered a little bit, about the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5. That too many believers, especially when they are in conflict, do not express love, kindness, gentleness, and certainly not self-control. But they act just like people do in the world. That is not believers expressing fruit that God expects. God expects Amen. Us as a part of the reality that we have the Spirit to talk like it in the times when we're being stretched. And then, of course, lastly, we talked about, which is where I'm leaving you, John
21:15-19.
John 21:15-19. Yeah. And that was,
Amen.
And the big idea was, the whole idea was Jesus is coming to reinstate Peter. But the motive for serving again was the love of, do you love Jesus?
Amen.
That's your
Amen.
Motive.
Amen.
Do you
Amen.
Love Jesus?
Thank you so much.
Now watch carefully. You can love what you do. One of the things I used to struggle with, I discipled preachers all over the world. And one of my struggles with preachers was getting them to understand there's a difference between loving what you do and loving the Lord as your
Amen.
Motivation.
That's right. That's right.
There's a difference. There's a world.
Amen.
And then we talked about that briefly, and that's basically what we were able to do. I welcome
right.
the six of you who have joined. Forgive me that I have to leave, but I'm being paged. I'll see you next week.
All right. Well, you have a great evening, Doc. Enjoy my birthday.
Thank you, Doc.
All right. God bless.
So
God bless you too.
One of the things that we have been trying to do in this study is understand that we have to acknowledge Jesus as Lord. We have to follow Jesus' head and understand that that impacts how we think. That impacts how we think. Who do we have on the line with us tonight? Let's get another roll call. Let's see who that is. Anybody
yes.
want to share
Terry
anything?
Abraham from North Carolina.
All right, all right. Is my,
Nancy,
is my family.
Happy birthday.
My family.
Nancy. Uh-huh.
Thank you. I'm glad y'all here. So we've been studying discipleship, y'all. And this is major because oftentimes we've been talking about how when we go to church, you know, Jesus, as we put it, when he was here on earth, he said before he went to the cross, he said, Lord, he said, I have completed that which I came to do. Now, wait a minute, he ain't even got on the cross yet. So what you mean he completed that which he came to do? Well, the reality is that making disciples is part of what was needed to happen along
Amen.
With the resurrection to give us life. And so we're understanding that we may not have been as effective in picking this piece up because in order for us to do it the way that Jesus wanted us to do it, we would be replicating the process. We would be making disciples as we go by. But if you notice and you look around your churches, we got folks sitting on pews, people don't want to do nothing, people not vested, because we have not clearly expressed the importance of understanding the role of making disciples and being a disciple of Christ. And so we talked about how this impacts how we think. And we asked the question, what was Jesus calling you to leave behind if you chose to follow him? Because he says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men. And so he's saying, follow me. But what you got to understand is Christ is changing us. So when we understand the initial part and we that engagement going to follow Jesus is moves us to what we know, right? So in our head, we made that mental decision, but then there has to be a heart-level decision. And once that heart-level decision comes, that changes our priorities and our attitudes change. And as Doc was saying before he left, we're not the same folk we used to be. So in the midst of conflict, come on, somebody, you see the gifts of the Spirit.
the fruit of the Spirit, excuse me. You see the fruit of the Spirit. You don't have Christians be cussing each other out, dogging each other out, disowning one another, not being present for others, saying, I'm done with you. You know, no. That is not what we see. We see heart-level change in our lives. Our characters change. And as Christ changes our hearts, our priorities and attitudes change. It's supernatural. That means that the Spirit makes us into relational, come on, being our relational people with an eternal perspective. Relational people with an eternal perspective, leading, come on, y'all, a broken world full of broken people to the transforming power of Jesus the Christ. And Dr. Jackson couldn't see on the thing because what the Ephesians, the John 15:5 and the John 15:19, 21:15-19 is talking about the mission, not about the spiritually dead. But I did like what he came up with, but that's not the context it was in. I did like that idea that if you're not in the vine, if you're not connected to the vine, you're spiritually dead. If you're on the vine and not producing fruit, you get trimmed. What's it called? When they do
pruned.
The vine?
Pruned.
Pruned. Yeah, you get pruned. So what does that look like as a believer to get pruned? Sister Sherry, what does that look like? Does that mean you're no longer a part of the Lord? Or did you never belong? And what does that look like to get pruned? Do we need to revisit that?
Let's see. That was...
So I'm going to back up while y'all thinking about that question. What I was trying to say is we have a head-level change. We got a heart-level change. And then when we have the broken people, the transforming of power of Jesus with those broken people, then we go into action and we do something different. So then we have an action change. Our hands get involved. We begin to feed the hungry and the homeless, and we go do stuff for people. We have a hand-level change. You see in 21:19, Jesus' mission becomes our mission, right?
Yes.
When we go to community activities, we don't just be going for ourselves. We be going to go, okay, so here's some people out here who don't know the Lord. Let me tell them my story. You don't have to be a theologian, but you need to share what
God has done.
That's how the Gennesaret, the man in Mark, was able to change the region because they didn't see him gnashing himself anymore. He wanted to go with Jesus, remember that? But Jesus sent him back because he was telling his story. And as he told his story, people lied. But I remember what it's like to just listen to people's story. And I don't know, testimonial service where people would testify about the goodness of God and what God has done. Anybody been to a testimonial service? No?
Yes.
You have?
A testimony service, yeah.
Yeah. And what was that like? What was that experience? Explain the testimony.
So it's always good because the people recognize God moving in their lives. And, you know, it was a time not only to hear what they had been through and how God made a change, but also just to see the excitement in them. It brought them, you know, to life a little bit more because, you know, you be in some situations sometimes and it seems like God is not there. And for him to show up and show out, sometimes whatever they're testifying is maybe small to you, but it's big to them. And as long as they're giving and they're giving God glory.
So Sherry, let's do a little with that, for example, testimonial service. I want to say something. I want everybody who chooses to, Everybody's not open to sharing something about what God has done for them. But I want to share a little bit. 3 months ago, I went to the doctor, and the doctor told me that I had kidney cancer. Mm-hmm. I then began to pray. I began to look up stuff. Dr. Sebi saying we need to have an alkaline body. I began to eat and try to change my body chemistry so that it would be alkaline and the cancer couldn't dwell there. I began to seek God even more and pray and fast and ask God what I needed to do next. And then let me tell you, when I called the doctor back, I said, can we take the test again? Come on, somebody. We take the test again, and the doctor said to me, oh, ma'am, I'm so sorry. I must have made a mistake because this is just a protein cyst. This is not what I, and I'm telling you, baby, it was no mistake. The God that I served, come on, somebody, changed it, healed me, opened up a new opportunity for me to see God in a new way, to remind me that he's a God that can do all things. He's a Jehovah Rapha, the one who heals. That's what God has done for me. That's what God has done for me. That's just a small little testimony. Anybody else want to share a story?
This is Margaret. I just want to say that I have 4 kids, 5 years apart, during their high school and college years. There were a number of times when I could have lost my kids. They were in trouble. Things happened. But by the grace of God, he answered my prayers, and everyone survived, although there were some close calls. But I praise God for that. I know it wasn't an accident, and I give God the glory for it, for preserving
Amen.
Their lives.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Testimony of what God can and will do. God is able to change our head, our heart, and then move us to where we will use our hands to be about God's mission. And so tonight what we were trying to do is to talk about, as we understand that, as we choose to follow God, we have to understand that that growth pattern starts off with people being spiritually dead, meaning that
Amen.
They have no connection. They are not in the vine. They are not
yes.
connected to the Lord. They are not. And so as a result, you know, God
yes.
is trying to, God is trying to, to get them to understand that the cost of following him. And so they have to make a change. But that can't happen if they're spiritually dead. Something has to happen. The Holy Spirit. Anybody know what happens? What is it that moves us? What helps us to move from being spiritually dead to having a relationship with God? Anybody.
We give our lives to the Lord, and then he sends the Holy Spirit, the counselor.
Amen. Amen. So the scripture says this, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world. Right? Hold on 1 second. Just like the rest of the world. And then it says, obeying the devil. Well, the mm-hmm. commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. Now, how you going to obey God if you don't know God? Hello, somebody. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead, come on, because of
Amen.
Our sins, he gave us life when he raised
Praise
Christ from
God.
The dead. So what is that saying, y'all? What is that saying as we close tonight? What is that saying? Minister Sherry, what is that saying?
sister, Nancy, what is that saying? What is that saying to you?
It's saying that we have redemption, we have freedom, we have a chance, we have life in Christ. That's what I get from that.
Absolutely.
We have a freedom.
The prince of this world is running things in this world for a short time. And when we are living according to the world, as she said, we are dead in our sins. We are spiritually dead. But praise be to God, hallelujah. When we choose to accept his son, who gave us life when he raised, come on, when he raised Christ from, excuse me, I get hiccups, when he raised Christ from the dead. By God's grace,
amen,
we have been saved, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus when we choose to accept Christ. But that's got to be where we choose. But if we haven't chosen that, and let me ask you a question. Y'all see people, what does it look like to you when you see people who haven't chosen Christ? What kind of behavior, what kind of verbiage do you see? What do you see?
Curses.
I see folk cursing, disrespecting others, not caring for one another's lives, putting people down. I see hatred, trying to be better than the other person, feeling as though people aren't equal. That's to me what I see when we're in sin and when we don't have a relationship with God. But something different happens when we accept Christ. We begin to obey. And we can only obey when we've read the word, when we study, and we come to know who Jesus is, which is where we pick up next week. Having a relationship with Jesus, being an infant in the Lord. Amen. That's what we'll pick up next week. And I'd like y'all to be mindful. I think, Pastor Jackson, that the scriptures will be looking at will be the infants. We'll be talking about infants next week. And if you would prepare, look at 1 Peter 2:2-3. If you look at as well, understanding that we're spiritual at this point, we'll be looking at 1 Thessalonians 2:10-12, 1 Timothy 1:1-2, and Philemon 1:8-10. Because we're going to look at the spiritual infant and the spiritual child. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. God, we come before you tonight, and we're just asking if there's anybody on the line who's out there, if there's anybody who heard a word that was reminded that they are not in the vine, that they are not connected to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's something that they have in their mind that they're wondering, how can I be saved? Who can I reach out? What can Christ? I've heard that he can do something. He can change my life. He can transform me, and I want what he has to offer. If that is the case, if you can confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead and is on the right-hand side of the Father, and when you die, you too will be raised with him. If you can believe that, if you've made that prayer, if you believe that, then I just want to celebrate with you, my brother or sister, that you have joined the family of God, and the angels in heaven are celebrating with you. And if you'd like to send in your name and address, we're at drsusie.loveconnection@gmail.com, and we will celebrate with you as you share your story of how God has changed your life. God's blessing to be with you. Tonight, I thank you for joining us at 8:30-ish p.m. We'll be on here sharing the word of God and learn his words with others. God's blessings be with you as we close.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.